Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich, winners of the Brokers Ireland Investment Excellence Award each year since 2014. Now that's reassuring.
To the Middle East we go now, or more correctly, an Irish angle on the continuing war in Gaza, because Michael Farrell is one of our most respected legal minds, one of our most distinguished lawyers, and he's been involved in human rights law for many, many years. However, he has recently resigned from the European Commission Against Racism and Intolerance after nearly 15 years of membership, including some even as vice chair. And I'm delighted to say Michael Farrell joins me now in studio. You're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much.
And I'll move you across towards the mic. Just a smidgen. You're okay. Thank you very much indeed. I'm taken aback at the resignation in one sense when I read about it, Michael. But just by way of context, briefly, you might describe to us what the European Commission Against Racism and Intolerance is and what it does. Just really briefly.
Well, first of all, this is the Council of Europe, the whole of Europe, not just the European Union. Mm-hmm. And this is a body that has a representative from each country. And what it does is it monitors the state of human rights being protected in the various countries. They send groups out to each country every 5 years or so, and they report on it and that sort of thing. And particularly they focus on minority groups, treatment of minority groups, like, for instance, in Ireland, travellers and Roma, immigrants, and more recently, LGBTI people. So,
and the work is assiduous, it's serious, it's painstaking work as well, and it's well regarded, obviously, right across all of Europe. And you've been doing this work, even as vice chair of this commission, for 15 years in total as a member. Why did you resign?
Well, I resigned because of what's happening in Gaza at the moment. I felt that, you know, if we were in an organisation which was looking at and criticising the treatment of people in various states and the degree to which the governments were observing human rights requirements, that if we were doing that and we were not taking any attention to what was happening virtually next door, involving a number of Council of Europe countries where people are being killed every day, bombed, whole countries being destroyed. I thought, you know, it was unrealistic for us to deal with issues which were important enough, perhaps, in the local countries. But they you know, just don't count at all when you compare them with what's going on in Gaza.
There's a disproportionality,
absolutely disproportionate.
But it's not as if you came in one day and resigned. This was ongoing or simmering, I would say. Am I right? For a number of years or months, you were trying to put Gaza on the agenda at the commission. Is that right?
Well, I started raising this, you know, after the Hamas attack in
October 7, 2023. Yeah.
Yes. And then the reaction to it, but the reaction to it was totally unproportional to what was done. At least it has become that. I was trying to raise the question of what was being done in Gaza at that stage, which long past the idea of just trying to arrest people who might have been involved in this attack, and was resulting in the deaths of hundreds, and now we know nearly 58,000 people, a lot of them children, women who couldn't possibly have been involved in the attacks.
And that's from the Gaza Health Ministry, those figures. There's also another independent University of London report which estimates that the figure is much higher, upwards of 80,000 deaths. Again, many of them, most of them, civilians, innocent civilians. But you're trying to put this in on the agenda. You're saying, look at what's happening here. What response are you getting from your colleagues in the commission?
Well, I have basically tried to bring it up at every meeting since then. There are meetings every couple of months. And just no response from the leadership. They sort of let me say my bit and then move to the next item on the agenda, not even having any discussion. As to my, you know, and I've done that a number of times, and I thought we'd got to a point where I can no longer
put up with this being ignored.
Yes.
But did you get any support from any other delegate on the commission saying, Michael is correct here, what about Gaza?
Well, that's a little more complicated because quite a lot of people actually would come up to me after meetings and say they thank me for saying what I had said and said they would like to say it, but they can't.
Why?
They're frightened.
Of?
Of losing their jobs in a lot of cases.
Why would they?
Well, a lot of the people would be academics or they would work in various government agencies. And there seems to be an attitude at the moment that most of the governments are still very frightened to say anything about what's going on in Gaza. And they, you know, there has been a very strong campaign by the Israelis to say that anybody who criticizes them is attacking Jewish people. And, you know, I think a lot of people are frightened about that.
And what do you say if those accusations or allegations were levelled at you, Michael, that by resigning, by trying to put what's happening in Gaza on the agenda, that you are anti-Semitic, that you are anti-Israel, what would you say?
Well, I'd say that's just totally untrue. I have known and worked with Jewish people for many years. Very interested in the Holocaust and so on. So personally, I am absolutely not anti-Semitic. And indeed, in a way, I think that by criticising what's going on and trying to stop what's going on in Gaza, that is actually a better thing to do for Jewish people than what's happening. Because what's happening is inevitably creating anger and hatred against them. And a lot of Jewish people themselves are now very unhappy about this. And one of the former prime ministers recently has been very critical of this and saying that they are committing war crimes.
Ehud Olmert, whom we've spoken with on this programme, we've spoken with Israeli people who are critical, but we've also spoken with Israeli people who are supportive of what the Benjamin Netanyahu regime is doing, or administration. Can I come back to your resignation, though, from the European Commission Against Racism and Intolerance? You saw effectively that they were silent on Gaza. I mean, did they give a reason as to their silence on Gaza?
Yes, the reason given was to say that this was not part of their mandate. And I presume the basic argument for that was that this is not happening in a Council of Europe country. My answer to that is that a number of European countries have been supplying the weapons which are being used by the Israeli forces in Gaza, and therefore those countries are involved in this. Mm-hmm. And on the other side of it, that there are countries where people are trying to provide support and food and medicine and so on to people in Gaza and are being prevented from it. And that's also something that people in the European countries are doing, but they're being prevented from doing it. So in my view, this is something that ECRI should be taking a look at and doing something about it, and that there is
You say if it's not strictly within the remit of the Commission, you should be putting it on the agenda and making a statement on it. And just so people know, you probably won't say it yourself, but you are, as I say, a distinguished lawyer with a long career of high-profile cases. You've argued before the UN Human Rights Committee, the Kavanaugh case, one of the standouts, the European Court of Human Rights, the Quinn versus Ireland case on the right to silence, the Lydia Foy case as well. So you've taken, you've campaigned, I think, on the Birmingham 6 and the Guildford 4 cases. You've taken and worked on really high-profile human rights cases. Can I ask you finally about speaking out and difficult positions and so on? Because yesterday in the programme we talked about the... We talked with an Israeli academic, a professor, who wrote in the Wall Street Journal recently about the Occupied Territories Bill. And he was saying that the Occupied Territories Bill, if it's passed in Ireland, will put US companies in Ireland in a difficult position, that they'd have to choose between complying with the Occupied Territories Bill or a US federal law which prohibits any boycott of trade with Israel. What would your response as a lawyer be to that? He said it was strictly a legal issue.
Well, first of all, if I could just say something, that actually quite a number of the members of ECRI that I worked with, and I'm very sorry to have to leave it because I respected a lot of these people, and quite a lot of them have said to me that they agree with me about this, but they have the difficulty of being in endangering their jobs and so on. So that I felt particularly that there was an obligation on me, because I wasn't in a situation where if I resigned, I would lose anything.
Yeah.
So I felt I had a bit of a responsibility to speak for the others as well, and then hope that the organisation will have to think about its attitude. On the second point, well, the way I would look at that is that I'm quite old enough to remember very well apartheid in South Africa and the demonstrations about that and the campaign to get Irish firms not to sell South African goods. And I remember that for about a year when the Dunn's workers were out on picket, and there was a lot of attempt to say, you know, you can't do this, it will be terrible and destroy our various companies and so on. Mm-hmm. And then eventually the government decided to change their mind and to agree to try and prevent the selling of South African goods at that time. Nothing happened. The sky didn't fall in, and in fact,
it
played an important part in the opposition to apartheid.
Is there a difference? I don't know, but maybe your opinion on this and that, since you have experience of both, is there a difference in terms of the world power and influence of South Africa at the time and Israel, or pro-Israel or pro-Jewish people around the world, especially in America right now? There seems to be, to me anyway, a bit of a difference in terms of power and dominance and influence.
Yes, I mean, there is a difference in power, but it doesn't. That doesn't change what is right about it. And the right thing is to stop this. And I think we should be doing that. In the end of the day, I mean, I think there is no doubt that attitudes are changing in the last couple of months. As the conflict got worse and it became clearer and clearer what was happening, that the Israelis were trying to clear out the population entirely from Gaza, I think that is changing. But we should be, as we have been on some other things, it would be good if we were in the leadership of taking action to try and change this.
Well, it is some decision to resign after 15 years from the European Commission Against Racism and Intolerance because you believe they're silent on Gaza. And I know you respect your colleagues, but let's see how it reverberates, and let's see if it forces the Commission to do something or anything. Michael Farrell, thank you very much indeed for joining us on the programme.
And thank you for having me.